Richie, I like what Gaffney's doing tonight on the ground. And I really think this is a guy with an opportunity to win not only a roster spot, but a role.
The quest to defend more than just a championship lives right here. New England Patriots coverage on CLNSradio.com. We want to hear from you, so call in right now. The phone lines are open, 929-477-2386.
Good evening, Pats Nation. This is the Patriots postgame show. I'm your host, Marvin Azad, alongside with...
What's going on, everybody? Good night to everyone. This is the Patriots postgame show. I am Mr. Mike Nice, and we are happy to be here following the first preseason game for the New England Patriots.
Yeah, man, this is the first preseason game. There was a lot that's been going on. And, Mike, let's just talk about it. You know, first four games, we are not going to have Thomas Brady as our quarterback. So we have Jimmy Garoppolo. What were your takes on him?
You know, first game, we all knew Jimmy Garoppolo was going to come out. It's been stated now. You know, he's going to start the season. He's the guy that's going to be holding down the fort. And, I mean, in this first preseason game, we all wanted to see what Jimmy Garoppolo was going to bring to the field. You know, hitting the field with the starters, you know, most of the starters, you know, minus Gronkowski and Edelman, Amendola, a couple guys. But Jimmy G was out there. And, I mean, he wasn't bad in his first game action of the season. You know, finishing the game with going 11 of 18 for 168 yards. You know, didn't turn the ball over, which is something that I personally was looking to see. I did not want to see any turnovers coming out of Jimmy Garoppolo. I know it's the first preseason game. I know he's getting his feet wet a little bit. You know, add a little added pressure going into the season, know that he's going to be the guy everybody's watching and the guy in those first four games. But one thing that he didn't do was turn the ball over. Was he perfect on the field? Did he look excellent? Did he look like a guy who's going to go out there and be 4-0 in the first four games of the regular season? You know, it's debatable, but I say Jimmy Garoppolo went out there and handled himself pretty well in the first preseason game of the season.
As a Patriots fan, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be our guy now, really holding the reins. And I honestly expected to see just a little more from him. He, like you said, he did okay. He didn't do too much to wow us. And, you know, he didn't have all the weapons there. Edelman wasn't there. Amendola wasn't there. We didn't have Deion Lewis, no Gronkowski. So we really can't put too much on him. But it was just subpar for me. You know, nothing crazy from Jimmy Garoppolo. I felt that he held onto the ball. I felt when the game started, in the first, especially during the first quarter, he held onto the ball a little too long. You know, he seemed a little timid to start off the game. But as he progressed, he did show some signs. He did get better. We saw his athleticism when he scrambled on a third down. But it was just subpar for me. Nothing special from Jimmy Garoppolo.
I mean, yeah, that's all understandable. I mean, we know this guy is not Tom Brady hitting the field. We know, you know, we're taking a chance. The Patriots are taking a chance and hoping that this guy can just, you know, weather the storm for this team as they wait for Tom Brady to return to the field. And, I mean, he stepped out there. And one thing I like that I saw from him, and it's something that, you know, we haven't seen from Brady throughout his career, and it's something that you see now with more quarterbacks as the seasons progress, and then, you know, you get these new age, new era quarterbacks. Jimmy Garoppolo is not afraid to scramble a little bit. And, you know, we're used to Tom Brady. Me personally, you know, when I see Tom Brady, the pressure's coming to Tom Brady, I have no problem seeing him just hit the ground, take the sack, don't get hurt. We know you're not running. Just lay down on the ground and just take the sack. But one thing you'll see from Jimmy Garoppolo in these next couple of preseason games you saw today, you'll probably see in the regular season as well. when the pressure starts to come, he'll be a guy that says, all right, you know, let me tuck the ball and see if I can pick up a couple of yards with his feet. And that's something that I'm going to look forward to see him continue to work on with his game, his craft, and hopefully he'll do as the games come along.
Definitely. So tonight's game, you know, Patriots won. Score was 35-22. Obviously, in the preseason, you know, you're not really thinking about scores as much. You're not really paying attention on the actual score, but more on the players and how they're developing and how they – it's all situational pretty much is what a preseason game is. And I mentioned earlier how Garoppolo, you know, first quarter was, you know, timid, just starting off. However, I feel like in the second quarter, he really got in his stride, and a key player that really helped him out was a Malcolm Mitchell, the rookie, number 19, who really stepped up. We've heard all the past prior weeks that he's been really having a great camp and separating himself from Aaron Dobson and Chris Harper. What do you think about Malcolm Mitchell?
I thought Malcolm Mitchell performed well. I mean, this is a guy who's taken in the draft, and, you know, one thing that's always been said about the Patriots is they always have trouble drafting wide receivers. They always have trouble, you know, developing wide receivers. But like you said, you know, throughout training camp and whatnot, Malcolm Mitchell is a guy whose name has come up a couple of times. I remember when I got a chance to talk to Tom E. Curran, he also brought up Malcolm Mitchell and how he was catching a lot of eyes through training camp. And, you know, he's in training camp battling with, you know, Aaron Dobson, who I'm starting to call Aaron Dobson the James Young of the New England Patriots, a guy that hasn't showed anything but has stuck around.
That's what I call him, Aaron Dobson.
A guy who's stuck around for a while but hasn't really performed. So he's battling with Aaron Dobson. He's battling with a couple other guys on the roster, other wide receivers that are trying to, you know, stick around, Keyshawn Martin, a couple other guys who are trying to stick around. But we saw in this first preseason game, and I know it's only one preseason game, but Malcolm Mitchell is making some plays in one area where you definitely want to see players make plays is down the field, and that's one thing that you want to see from Patriots wide receivers. And you obviously know you have Gronkowski. You obviously know you have Martellus Bennett included in the mix now this season. But you also want to have guys, wide receivers, that you can also depend on down the field, because, you know, say if Gronkowski's not open, say if Bennett's not open, who else can you look for down the field? Who else can Garoppolo in those first four games and Tom Brady for the rest of the season look for down the field? And Malcolm Mitchell, just in this first preseason game, showed that, you know, he could possibly be a down-the-field threat. So I like what I saw from him a lot, for sure.
And unfortunately, and this is something I want to bring up too when we speak on preseason, but Malcolm Mitchell did go down in late second quarter after making a tremendous catch, you know, being covered very well, made a tremendous catch and went down. And it seems like he dislocated his elbow. It was very gruesome, actually. It reminded me, I know you brought it up when I was watching with you earlier, Mike, the Rondo play.
And yeah.
His elbow went the wrong way where your arm's not supposed to go, man. It's unfortunate to see, you know, a young gun like that really coming out, showing his own, and then gets injured. And that's what a lot of people's beef is when it comes to preseason.
I mean, yeah, like you said, that when I saw that injury, it kind of looked like exactly what happened. If you guys remember, Celtics fans, Rondo's elbow injury in the playoffs a couple seasons ago against the Miami Heat. Everybody hates Dwayne Wade thinking that he caused it. But, yeah. The arm just bending, the elbow bending the wrong way and whatnot, and it just looked pretty bad. And, you know, he's helped off the field, and when he got off the field, he went straight down into the locker room. So didn't seem like an injury where he could, you know, step back on the field anytime soon. Hopefully it's not as bad as we all think it is, and it's something where he can recover faster and hopefully make it back on the field, because we saw a lot from him, man. We saw a lot. And like I said, hopefully he's a player that, you know, sticks around for the long term and someone that the Patriots can depend on as they move forward into the future.
This is the Patriots post-game show. Make sure you can call in at 929-477-2386. That's 929-477-2386. Yeah, also we also have Mike Alonji with us. Mike, if you want to come in and speak on what were your thoughts on today's first you know, preseason Patriots game?
Well, what's going on, guys? It's good to be here. You know, I'm kind of with you guys. I was not too impressed with Jimmy Garoppolo. I did like some of the escapability that we saw from him, but I wasn't entirely impressed with him throwing the ball. Made a couple of questionable throws, throwing the ball across his body, things like that.
Yeah,
so I wasn't entirely big on that. What I did like was the defense. I mean, the way they turned the ball over today, the way they made things happen, big tackles. He looks like he'll be able to make a difference in the return game as well. So, you know, all around, it was a decent showing for a first preseason game. I was honestly shocked that the starters played as long as they did the entire first half. That's something you usually don't see until at least the second preseason game. So, no surprise there. But just a little quick update on Malcolm Mitchell. From what I'm looking on Twitter, Jeff Howe of the Boston Herald, Mark Daniels of the Providence Journal, Karen Garigian of the Boston Herald as well, all tweeting out that Malcolm Mitchell suffered a dislocated elbow and could be out for as many as 4 weeks.
Well, wow. I mean, hey, if that's the case, you know, get well soon, Malcolm Mitchell. You know, thankfully, I mean, dislocated it's not a good injury. Nobody wants to dislocate an elbow, but if the diagnosis is possibly 4 weeks that he could be out, you know, hopefully we can have him back sooner than we expected after seeing that injury. But Mike Alonji, I definitely agree with you. After watching this game, the defense is something that definitely stood out. One guy who is really looks like he's going to put his stamp on this upcoming season is Jamie Collins.
Oh, and yeah.
What a way he started the game, you know, early on, pick six, taking it to the house. And he finished the game, you know, in limited action with that interception. He had a tackle for a loss, you know, three tackles in total. It was a great game. And even earlier than that, we saw another turnover by the Saints where Jabal Sheard forced a fumble on I think it was Drew Brees.
Yep.
Yeah, man.
No. He forced a fumble on a running back.
Well, either way, forced fumble caused a turnover. So, I mean, these are your guys, these are your starters who are going to really be carrying you throughout the season. And the stepping up early in preseason and making plays, causing turnovers. And if you have a defense, that's one thing you want your defense to do is cause turnovers. And, you know, Jamie Collins stepping up, Jabal Sheard stepping up. It was a solid play. Yeah, you know, the Saints got a couple points in early. But for the most part, you know, and I was talking to DJ Mies about this while we were here watching the game. When this defense is clicking on all cylinders and they have all their starters in, everybody on the field, and they're ready to go when these games really count, I'm starting to feel like this is a defense that you're going to have to fear in the regular season.
Yeah, so the front seven is nasty. Like, especially when we get Nikovic back, we have a great signing of Dante Hightower, who played 23 snaps today, which is a great, great sign, you know, considering he didn't do any live tackling in the 12 training camps. Defense is getting healthier. You have Jamie Collins, who we've mentioned, who's really looking like he's taking that next step to maybe possibly be a defensive player of the year. I'm just putting that out there now in preseason. I really think this guy is going to prove something. It is a contract year, too, so he has a lot to prove in Jamie Collins. But the front seven is great. I love all the pieces. I love how versatile we can be. And another thing I want us to really look out for in this preseason, and I know the reporters brought it up, too, is who is going to really take that next step in our cornerback field. We have Logan Ryans. We have Malcolm Butler. Who's going to be that third guy? Coleman was really feisty during this game. I know during the first play, Coleman got beat by what's his name? He got beat by
– was it Cooks?
Brandon Cooks. He got beat by Brandon Cooks in the first play, but then ever since then, he really stepped up. I loved what I saw from Patrick Chung. He still looks like he's getting better week by week. He actually caused a deflection that Collins was able to bring back. So the development of our cornerbacks, we have a rookie who came out of nowhere and made an incredible catch. His name is Cravon LeBlanc. You're going to see it on SportsCenter everywhere tomorrow. One-handed interception play. And you know, those young guys really stepping up, and it'll be really interesting to see how our secondary develops.
You know, one thing you talk about when you talk about the secondary, there's a guy that I, you know, really excited to see play this year, and he's wearing a very iconic number here in the Patriots organization, and that is Cyrus Jones, number 24. He's a guy who I know right now, and DJ Mees has said this a lot, he's a guy right now who will be very vital, hopefully, in the kick return and punt return game. But I feel like, you know, this guy was a standout cornerback in Alabama, with Alabama. And I feel like over time, maybe not this year, maybe next year, or maybe he'll really, you know, show off throughout the course of the preseason and, you know, in the second half of the games and whatnot. But I feel like Cyrus Jones can start to make a push to possibly be that third dependable cornerback. And I was telling DJ Mises, you can't wear number 24 and just be kick returning and punt returning. You got a number like that on the back of your jersey, in the front of your jersey. You need to be a cornerback that teams can depend on. Number 24 is not for just kick returners and punt returners and special team players. You're going to wear number 20. Sorry. You're going to wear number 24. You got to step up and have a prominent role on defense. That's what I feel like. And hopefully Cyrus Jones continues to put in the work in practice and in preseason games and really starts to show his skills and be a cornerback that the Patriots can depend on defense.
Yeah, it says a lot when you wear, you know, number 24. I know your favorite player is Ty Law, so it caught your attention, especially when you saw that. I didn't see much of Cyrus Jones, you know, playing the corner position, and we saw him doing the kick return. He looks quick on his feet. I'd love to see more during this preseason how he fares against bigger wide receivers, because height is going to be one of his challenges. But Patriots have always done good with, you know, small cornerbacks, and look at Malcolm Butler. So it's going to be really fun to see how they integrate him. They also have Justin Jones, who was another cornerback they got, rookie, quick, 4.3 speed. So, like, there's a lot of guys out there right now who are really going to try to make the names in the cornerback position. Another guy I want to switch gears a little bit and speak on that we mentioned quickly is Martellus Bennett.
Oh, yeah.
Bennett got a lot of action in this first half, honestly. Played 37 snaps, which is a lot, you know, considering for a start. We all know he's going to be a starter. And him and Garoppolo looked like they had a good connection. I don't know if the Saints' defense is really trash, but he was open on most of the plays that Garoppolo found him in, and Bennett really made it worth. He looked good. He looked quick on his feet, and I don't know. You get Bennett, Gronk. It's looking good, Mike. It's looking really good.
Definitely. And, you know, like you said, Bennett, you know, played a lot in this game. You know, he finished on four targets. He had three receptions for 33 yards, and, I mean, he's a guy, and like we're here both here saying, this offense looks like it's going to have a lot of firepower for, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo is this young guy stepping into this big role with this big-time organization, but he couldn't ask for a better situation here with the Patriots with all these weapons that he have. You're talking about a Julian Edelman in the seasons he's had the last couple of years. You already know the deal with Gronkowski. Martellus Bennett is as solid as a second tight end as the Patriots have had since, you know, a name that we don't like to say around here, but I say it anyways, Aaron Hernandez. You know, you're talking about a two tight end set that is probably the most feared in the NFL right now. And I mean, and then you saw how Amendola has been dependable the last couple of seasons, especially last season as well. You have a lot of threats here on offense for the Patriots quarterbacks to be passing to down the field. And I mean, This offense can be one of the best the Patriots has had in the last couple of years. I mean, I feel like that's something, you know, especially with this Patriots team that we say, you know, year in and year out, coming into the preseason and training camp and whatnot, oh, how good would this offense be? This is probably one of the best offenses we've seen. But honestly,
This is it. This one's it.
This could be one of the best since 2007. And what sucks is the only thing is that you won't have Tom Brady from game one to be out there, you know, building up the stats with these guys from the start of the season. But still, with the weapons and, you know, first four
this
games, get those out
better
the way.
Than 2007.
Whoa, pump the brakes.
This offense, I believe, could be better than 2007. With 2007, you had, yes, you had Welker, you had Moss, and you had Brady. That ran your offense, and a great offensive line.
You had a decent tight end in Ben Watson, too. He wasn't Gronkowski, I'm not saying
okay.
that. But
stop right there. I'm glad you said that.
Ben Watson are the same player, but I'm saying Ben Watson was, you know, Gronkowski's playing tight end position out of his mind. We all know that since he's coming to the league. But when you talk about the next level tight ends, Ben Watson was solid in 2007. He wasn't a dummy.
Okay, listen. With this team we have here in 2016, we have versatility. You have Edelman, Amendola, Chris Hogan, Malcolm Mitchell hopefully comes back, and what I've seen so far looks pretty damn good. Gronkowski, Bennett, a la 2011 when we had number 81, who I won't say his name, and Gronkowski. And then, not only that, what makes this team lots more special, Deion Lewis, alongside with James White, who I want to get on later, and LeGarrette Blount, I feel like the versatility is crazy.
I mean, it remains to be seen. We'll see what this offense can do, but it looks like we got a caller calling in trying to talk some LeGarrette Blount. Let's get to him right now. We have Jay calling in and wants to talk some LeGarrette Blount. What's going on, Jay?
What's going on, man? What's going on, man? I want to hear what you guys think about, like, the outlook on LeGarrette Blount. Like, he looked good tonight, but, like, overall, I think he's kind of whack. I don't know if I can say that on the radio. I think he's whack.
The truth?
And I know we have Deion Lewis. We have White, who ran today. I even like Bolden. So, like, what do you guys think about Blount for the season?
I'll go first. My honest opinion, I think LeGarrette Blount is trash. I don't think he brings much value to the team, especially last year watching him. I mean, he only averaged like 2.8 yards per game last year. He wasn't really effective. It's like Blount can't really play well unless he sees blue in front of him, and I'm talking to Colts. Like, I don't see him perform other than that, but I think he's still needed on the team, especially on times when we are going, like, third and short or fourth and short, and you really need that specific close downage. You're in the goal line. I think he's effective there. But other than that, I really do not want to see Blount much. I was kind of upset that I saw him so much today.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, Marv. I think when it comes to LeGarrette Blount, he's only good in those short yardage situations. And especially, you know, a lot of teams bring in those power backs on the goal line situations where you need somebody to punch it into the end zone. And I honestly think that's all LeGarrette Blount is good for right now for the Patriots. Whenever we're on goal line or third and one, fourth and one, whatever the case may be, or we need somebody to punch it in for a first down or punch it in for a touchdown, I think that's the only purpose LeGarrette Blount serves on this team. And the Patriots should look more to get James White and Brandon Bolden and hopefully Deion Lewis and a couple of these other young guys involved. But don't depend on LeGarrette Blount to be your lead back on this
team. Amen.
Please.
But I appreciate the call, Jay. Thanks a lot, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Keep
Thank you. Thank you very much, Jay. Yeah, and today I think Christian Fourier was saying how LeGarrette Blount wants to catch the ball more in this offense. Please stop with that noise right now.
We
got James White. We got Brandon Bolden. We do not need LeGarrette Blount catching the ball. And I remember seeing him, Brady toss him some passes a couple times in the season last year, and it never resulted in anything positive. So stop with that noise.
Yeah, I don't know what media, journalist, writer, whoever LeGarrette Blount told that he wants to catch more balls out of the backfield. I don't know who he said that to, but I'm pretty sure the whoever journalist he told that to probably had to cover their face from smiling too much and laughing, because I would have taken that as a joke. Like, I do not see LeGarrette Blount as being dependable catching out of backfield compared to the other running backs on the roster. Give it to James White. Give it to Bolden. Give it to Gaffney and these other guys that they have. Deion Lewis. LeGarrette Blount, no. I guarantee out of all the running backs on the roster, he probably the slowest. I guarantee for a fact. And he wants to catch it out of the backfield and do what with it? Come on now.
Sorry.
Let's be serious. Let's be serious. Like I said, LeGarrette Blount, solid. And you'll make some good money if you just come in the game and punch it in the end zone or punch it for a first down, and that's it.
That's it. No, nothing more, nothing less. But since we're talking running back, a guy I really liked seeing today who is going to make some strides and I think is going to have a significant role in this offense, whether Deion Lewis plays or not, is going to be James White. He really helped us out last year when Deion went down and stepped up in a huge role. I think we depended a little too much on him, especially during the Broncos game in last year. But I loved what I see out of James White. He had a huge reception off of a screen that went 55 yards and was just short of the touchdown that landed in the 1 yard line. But then, you know, he also carried the ball 3 times for 12 yards. And I just loved what I see out of James White, and I think it's another step for the Patriots to really solidify our running back core.
Yeah, man. I mean, like you said, last year when Deion Lewis went out, James White is the guy that they called upon to really step up and kind of fill that void with Deion Lewis on the sidelines. And, I mean, you know, hopefully Deion Lewis is working his way back into game shape and doing all the things he needs to do to be on the field. I mean, everybody knows how significant and serious an ACL injury is. And, you know, sometimes you get guys coming back and maybe they're not completely right physically or probably more so mentally when they're coming back from an ACL injury. So we don't fully know if Deion Lewis is going to just step back into this season and be the same guy who we saw, you know, at the beginning of the last season. But definitely I feel like James White, who's coming into his third year now, is really feeling more comfortable, you know, in the offense, playing next to Brady and the rest of these guys. And he's a guy, like you said, that the Patriots should be able to depend on more. I mean, yes, you'll have Deion Lewis there, hopefully back, but James White, and even mixing a tiny bit of Brandon Bolden. I know he's a solid guy who I think the Patriots depending on special teams, but him and James White and Deion Lewis, I feel like those are three guys who maybe can mix in a little bit. Obviously, Deion Lewis, unfortunately, LeGarrette Blount and James White are going to be the top three guys. But James White, I feel, is definitely somebody who can make an impact this season when his name is called upon for sure.
Yeah, I'm really looking into that. And like I've been telling you guys for a while now, Brandon Bolden, I love him, but I just want to give him a role as a special teams. I think if we have Deion, James White, and LeGarrette, we don't really need to see much of Brandon Bolden, but he is useful, especially with injuries, the injuries we've been having. He's been very dependable in that backfield. And who knows, also another thing I want to look out for, I didn't see much of Clay Harbor, our third tight end. He only got one target. And I really want to know what we're going to do with our third tight end. You know, Clay Harbor is some guy we got. There's a tight end we got from Jacksonville. I think he's very versatile. They say he might even try – we might use him as a fullback, but then again, that we have James Devlin. So seeing how Belichick and the offense really tries to work this – all this versatile players that we have into a system is going to be very, very interesting to see.
I mean, yeah, you know, that's one thing that the Patriots and Bill Belichick ever since he's, you know, stepped up into the role as head coach and the seasons have gone on. That's one thing that I think we've all noticed that Bill Belichick likes on both sides of the ball, offense and defense. He likes guys who can be very versatile. And, I mean, whether it be, you know, the years we saw Troy Brown play wide receiver and sometimes he's playing cornerback, or Vrabel sometimes, you know, being called in at goal line situations to play tight end. Versatility is something that the Patriots and Bill Belichick value a lot. And, I mean, if you can get guys who can play one role but sometimes step up and fill in another role, it helps the team. And it brings a mystery aspect, you know, that other teams have to game plan for, because you never know if this guy is going to be over here playing this position one day, or is he going to be playing defense, or is he going to be wide receiver catching? You never know what to expect sometimes at the Patriots. And that's one of the things that makes them so great and makes them, you know, one of the top teams in the NFL year in and year out, is the versatility that they have.
Once again, this is the Patriots post-game show. You can call us in at 929-477-2386. Let's talk football. The first preseason game just happened. Patriots with a pretty solid win, 34-22. Let's talk defense. Let's keep talking defense, man. A lot of takeaways from the defense, fumbles, interceptions, and I know all we've been talking about is Jimmy Garoppolo and the offense, how great this offense can be, but let's not sleep now. This defense the New England Patriots have can be very scary. I'm talking about maybe the second-best defensive team in the AFC, next to Denver Broncos.
Oh, boy, oh, boy. Wow, that's a bold prediction.
Is it really that bold, though?
Well, I'm sitting here trying to think about other teams who usually have –
Think of the AFC. Is it really that bold?
Well, you got other couple teams that might be mixed in there. You know, the Ravens always have a decent defense.
The Ravens. Well, I mean, what was their record last year?
I mean, yeah, their record sucked because offensively they're not good. But, I mean, this usually a pretty solid – I'm not sitting here trying to say that the Patriots are not a good defensive team. But I'm saying –
Are you saying the Ravens are better?
I think it's obviously Denver Broncos. And then when you have – talking about the second-tier defenses in the AFC, I think the Patriots are sprinkled in with
– Okay, so who would be ahead of the Patriots in the AFC?
I wouldn't say – I mean, obviously, after the Broncos, I'd say, you know, teams like maybe the Ravens, the Patriots. That's probably
Ravens were horrible defensively last year. So I'm still trying to understand. They didn't have Suggs. They weren't good cornerbacks. They had horrible cornerbacks. They were not good defensively. So I'm still wondering why you keep bringing up the Ravens.
I'm saying usually maybe yeah, well, last
I'm talking 2016, right after the Broncos.
Well, I can't tell. I don't know other teams I've been paying attention to. Obviously, the Broncos, you know, you have to give them their respect and their due because they're the defending Super Bowl champs. I don't know what the Ravens are doing in trade cap. I don't know who they signed, drafted. I couldn't tell you. What I'm telling you is, I know usually they have a solid. I don't know what's happening going into this year, but usually Ravens have a defense that is usually a solid one. But from what I've seen with the Patriots and things that they've doing, this is a Patriots defense that has really – you know what I think of this Patriots? I think of – if I had to compare it to basketball and maybe for
oh
example –
Oh, my goodness.
Listen, hear me out. You got a team like the Golden State Warriors or the San Antonio Spurs, teams that, you know, drafted these young guys and over time they developed and turned into solid teams. And not by going out and making crazy trades, crazy free agent signings. Guys have just developed on the team. Jamie Collins, Dont'a Hightower, Malcolm Butler, Logan Ryan. I know some people like to say, oh, Logan Ryan is pretty good. But I personally don't think Logan Ryan is all that. But these are guys that, you know, for the most part, have developed over the last couple of seasons on this Patriot roster. And I remember the year I was calling for Matt Patricia's head because I thought he sucked. And I thought he had the whole defense suck. and I thought they was all horrible. But then, you know, they had that season where they brought in, you know, Darrell Revis. They brought in Browner. And, you know, you saw that season that, you know, the offense kind of started to – I mean, the defense kind of took a step forward. And, I mean, obviously you have this veteran leadership in, you know, and obviously with the continued development of the young guys. But they kind of took a step that season. And, you know, last season, once you have no more Browner, no more Revis, the defense still continued to rise and build and develop with this same young core. And, I mean, as you're going into this season, you brought in some pieces, you have, but you have the remaining pieces there that have just been developing over time. And with that being said, I do feel like this will be a solid defense to be reckoned with during the course of the 2016 season.
Yes. Second best until until proven otherwise.
It remains to be seen.
You're making my point for me. But speaking of defense, another thing I was looking out for is, you know, Rob Ninkovich, he's going to be out for 4 to 6 weeks with a torn tricep. So who is going to fill in the void? In the first half, we saw Chris Long take his place. And Chris Long didn't look too bad. He definitely broke loose a couple of times, caused a couple of holdings for the offense. And what Rob Ninkovich was really good at was his intangibles. He knew when to go for the quarterback or when to just stay out and guard the running back who was going on the outside. He was very good with intangibles. And I felt like Chris Long at times was kind of felt lost, and the quarterback, Drew Brees or whoever it was, picked him apart a little bit. But did not play bad for the first game in the Patriots system. I liked what I saw. And then in the second half, we had Trey Flowers, who's now in a second-year defensive end. And I was really happy to see what he proved. You know, got a strip sack on the quarterback, Luke McCown. I didn't even know Luke McCown was still in the league. He got a strip sack on Luke McCown and, you know, returned it for a 17-yard touchdown. And don't forget, Trey Flowers last year was going to be a guy that was really supposed to be big for our defense. And then, unfortunately, he got hurt in the preseason opener against the Packers. So I'm excited for Chris Long. I like what I saw from Trey Flowers as well.
Yeah, I mean, another guy who's really coming into his own, another couple of guys really coming into their own on defense. And, I mean, obviously you know who the starters are on this team. But if you got guys like Trey Flowers stepping in and a couple other guys here, you know, Alan Branch is another guy I'm looking forward to see. Guys who are coming into their own on this defense and will really add to the long-term success of this team, especially defensively. And, I mean, one thing that I feel the Patriots will be at the top of the league in terms of defense, I feel like they'll be one of the top teams when it comes to turnovers.
Because, just like last year, in the past couple of years, honestly.
And this is another year where it'll continue to be on the rise, because you talk about this front seven with Sheard and Hightower and Collins. These are strong, powerful, athletic guys who are going after the football. And we saw it, you know, right to start the game today. Jabal Sheard with a forced fumble. Jamie Collins getting that interception. You know, the Patriots will be at the top of the league in turnovers. And, I mean, as well as them continuing to develop secondary, Malcolm Butler leading the charge out there, they'll be a team to be reckoned with, like I've been saying. And I want to talk about Malcolm Butler a little bit. Obviously, we didn't see him a lot in today's game. But one thing coming into the preseason and out of the offseason was Malcolm Butler and his contract. Malcolm Butler and his contract, you know, he had a great second year in the league, but he's still getting paid like a bum off the street. My thing is with Malcolm Butler, after coming out of last season, does he deserve to be paid? Yeah. No, but the thing is, no one knew what to expect from Malcolm Butler last season. You know, he had the great interception 2 years ago in the Super Bowl, and then, you know, they lost Revis. They said, all right, Malcolm Butler, here's your time to shine. You're going to get this cornerback position. And he had a hell of a season. Everybody can agree with that. Did he deserve to be paid top dollar after that one season? That's debatable. But I feel like if he comes out this upcoming season and does what he did last year or even better, he's definitely putting a stamp on declaring that. And I have no problem, and I would completely understand if he went into next offseason holding out for a contract.
I mean, what does he really have to declare or prove? The Patriots already come out and said that's our guy. That's going to be our starting cornerback regardless.
Yeah,
it's not like
they're paying him like that.
Exactly. That's why I feel like the Patriots should have paid him this summer. And it's quite honestly disrespectful that they have it. Because it's not like, okay, he has a small contract. No, this guy has a small contract. Like, it's minuscule compared to what these guys are paying in the NFL. And the Patriots should have done him better. I mean, this guy won you the Super Bowl. He won you the 2014 Super Bowl. Pay the man. Then he came out and no one expected him to be as good as he was when we lost Revis, when we lost Browner, and he stepped up and went to the Pro Bowl. Like, that's big. This guy went to the Pro Bowl and he's not getting paid whatsoever. Definitely would like to hear you guys' takes on that on the Patriots postgame show. Please call in at 929-477-2386. What do you believe? What's your feelings on Malcolm Butler? Do you guys feel like he should have got paid this year? I honestly think he should have, and it's quite disrespectful.
Yeah, I mean, I hear what you're saying. I really do. But you know how the Patriots are one of the stingiest, cheapest teams in the league. And the thing is, they saw, like I said, they saw what he did last year. And I feel like them not paying him this past season, after his performance from this past season, I feel like they're saying, okay, you did that 1 year. Do it. Let's show us that you can sustain that 2 years in a row. And we'll give you big time money. Because remember, Devin McCourty, his first year, what was he? Didn't he win like off defensive rookie of the year or something?
Yeah, he was balling.
He was balling. What happened that second year?
He struggled.
He was so bad the next year and the year after that. They said, okay, you no longer playing cornerback for him. We're going to change your position because that cornerback, you suck. So I feel like maybe that's something that's in the back of their mind, too, with the Patriots. They saw what Devin McCourty did his first year, and he came out the next year and was terrible. So that could be in the back of their mind, too. They're probably saying, okay, Malcolm Butler, we have you on the contract, so you're going to play. And, I mean, we already know that you're not the type of guy who's, like, ready to hold out like that. So do it again. Prove what you did that first year in the starting role that you can duplicate it again.
See what you're doing, though. What you're doing, Mike, is you're thinking as the NFL right now. You're thinking as Bill Belichick and as the team, which is understandable. But think for the player. Malcolm Butler is one hit away of ending his career. All it takes is one hit and your career is over. Pay me now so I know I'm financially secure. I'm putting my body on the line every week for you guys. I won the Super Bowl. I proved to you guys I am a starter. Not only am I a starter, I'm a Pro Bowler. That's on my resume. Pay me. I want to be financially secured.
So, I mean, if that's how he feels, how come he didn't hold out? How come he didn't just hold out? If everything you're saying and think for the player, this is all running through his mind. How come he didn't hold out? How come he's not holding out?
I don't know. Maybe it's not the right decision for him. He's still for the team. But
that's exactly. That's why I'm saying the Patriots know that they have that, still have him under contract. So it's not like he can just go anywhere. And I mean, and on top of that, they know he's not that type of guy to say, let me hold out. So going into next season, Malcolm Butler does anything close to similar as what he produced last season, I guarantee they will put mega bucks in his pockets. I firmly believe it. And I mean, I don't think, I don't, I don't foresee him having a huge drop off. I mean, like I didn't see Devin McCourty having a huge drop off at the cornerback position, but no one knew he was going to come into the next season to be a bum like he was at the cornerback position. So who knows what can happen with Malcolm Butler? Hopefully, and this is one thing I said about Malcolm Butler from the jump, from the beginning of the last season. He made that interception, and when it was made clear by the Patriots that they were going to push him into that starting role, he needed to grab that opportunity by the horns and just go off with it. You don't be a – who was this guy, an undrafted free agent? Undrafted
working in Walmart.
You're working, bagging groceries at the local grocery store, and then all of a sudden the Patriots say, you're going to be the starting quarterback for cornerback for our team? If that's me, I'm in the gym every day. I'm working out all the time, whatever drills – whatever top cornerback coaches, defensive coaches, whoever I need to seek out, I'm making sure that I could come back in the best of shape and I can read defenses like no other if you throw that opportunity in my face. You just got rid of Darrell Revis, a guy who is arguably could possibly go down as one of the greatest cornerbacks at his – greatest players at his position. And now you're going to put me at the starting position? Oh boy, I'm coming back and I'm be the best thing you ever seen in your life.
And I mean, when Malcolm Butler took the reins, none of us expected him to be as good as he was. And he obviously has his flaws. He's not gifted athletically, but there's one thing you can say about Malcolm Butler: the boy plays hard, man. Hard worker, and he will always strive to be better.
For sure, for sure. You know, he puts in the work, and that's one thing I'll give him a lot of respect for. Malcolm Butler puts in the work, and we should see it, you know, continue to develop and continue to progress and flourish as he's on this team.
Another person who's been putting in work, we finally got to see him play for the first time, is Jimmy, I said Jimmy. It's Jimmy. Jacoby Brissett, our third string quarterback, now second string quarterback for the New England Patriots, who took over in the second half. He went 7 for 13, 63 yards. What did you see and what did you like or did not like out of Brissett, Mike?
One thing that, you know, we saw from Brissett. His arm, that guy has a powerful, strong arm, and he'll be able to sling it downfield anytime the way his arm is. And I mean, he showed a little, you know, some poise in the pocket. He didn't seem, you know, as a rookie quarterback stepping up. Yeah, you're going up against the second and third, fourth string players or whatever the case may be. But, you know, he stood pretty solid in the pocket and was trying to make solid plays down the field. And I mean, I'll give him some credit. He looked good. You know, you just put his stats out there. I feel like one thing I've always said from the jump, say for a chance, Jimmy Garoppolo comes out these first couple of games and has a hell of a start to the season. In those first four games, he puts up some great stats. And, I mean, even looking at Jimmy Garoppolo's stats right now, if he played the full game, he would have finished pretty solid. You know, he wasn't playing pretty bad. He would have had a nice, probably solid finish if he played the full four quarters. But say Jimmy Garoppolo comes out to start of the regular season, first four games, and goes off. I feel like it's a chance that the Patriots might start dangling him out to other teams in trade offers.
Without a doubt,
because now, I mean, hopefully they're gonna give Jacoby Brissett and look, the Patriots haven't signed another cornerback to be, quarterback to be there to maybe another veteran quarterback to have or insurance policy. They're literally gonna put this whole thing right now on these two players' backs. Maybe at the start of the season, they might bring in a third quarterback just to have sign that dude to a 4-game contract or something short or something stupid. But they're putting it all on these two young guys' back. And if Jacoby Brissett, who, you know, first game, 7-13, 63 yards, didn't do anything crazy. But if he shows that he's any bit of solid, and obviously you're learning from Bill Belichick, you know, and Tom Brady and the offense and this whole organization, you're learning from them. So, and I always say backup quarterbacks in the Patriots organization are always valued throughout the league. They don't have to start a single game in the whole regular season. But just because they come from Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick and from behind Tom Brady, we've seen backup quarterbacks of the Patriots get started roles just like a snap of the fingers. So, I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo can be dangled out there in trade offers, and the Patriots might say, hey, buy Jimmy Garoppolo, let's move forward with Jacoby Brissett as the possible future of this team.
I agree. I agree. Jacoby Brissett, what I saw from the second half, he was. I liked how quick he was to release the football. He looked poised, very comfortable out there. But he made some boneheaded throws as well. The couple of times he could have easily got intercepted if there wasn't the dummy secondaries out there. He could have easily got intercepted. But he made some incredible throws that I cannot deny. And I liked what I saw. I really did. He got the drive moving that scored a touchdown with Tyler Gaffney when he ran for about like 40-something yards, I believe. So Jacoby Brissett looked good. He looked comfortable. He obviously has some work to do, but I love the mechanics.
Oh yeah, for sure, man, for sure. And I mean, one thing that I keep saying about Jimmy Garoppolo and Jacoby Brissett is, yeah, I honestly feel, you know, Peyton Manning is out the league now, but there's not too many pocket quarterbacks left in the league right now. Quarterbacks who can really stand in the pocket, have that pocket presence. You know, after Tom Brady, maybe Aaron Rodgers, you know, after those two guys, maybe.
You can't even put Aaron Rodgers in there. Aaron Rodgers is way more versatile.
I mean, yeah, friendly. That's what I'm saying. But I'm talking about having those legit quarterbacks who will just dissect the defense from the pocket. There's not too many of those left right now after Tom Brady. But the thing I'm seeing – The thing I'm seeing with you have, you know, Garoppolo and Brissett is those are two quarterbacks who, like I said earlier in the show, they're kind of a part of the new wave of quarterbacks that you're seeing in the NFL now. Guys who, yeah, can probably stand in the pocket a little bit and you know, sling the ball downfield. But if need be, they can scramble out and pick up some yards on their feet. And I tell you, there was one time Jacoby Brissett made a run for it. And me and you, Marv, we sat here and we said, oh, look at this guy on the move. He looked good. He had two rushes for 19 yards, and his longest was for 14-yard pickup. And, I mean, if you have a quarterback who has a strong arm, please have some accuracy. But if need be, can tuck in the ball and pick up yardage like Jacoby Brissett did in this preseason game, that's a solid quarterback to have. And, you know, I'm not saying Jacoby Brissett is Russell Wilson or Cam Newton or anything like that, but that's just a new wave of quarterbacks that you're starting to see in the NFL now. And I'm pretty sure after Tom Brady's done, whether it be Garoppolo, Brissett, or somebody else, that's probably the next type of quarterback we'll probably see, you know, in a Patriots uniform.
Yeah, as you know, as Patriots fans, we are not used to seeing a quarterback scramble. So when a quarterback scrambles, like, whoa, hey, wait a minute, what is this?
Exactly.
When Garoppolo on the third down, we were screaming, throw the ball. All of a sudden, he scrambled to get the first down. Like, oh yeah, you can do that.
That's and it's crazy. It's crazy because, like me, I always say, we're so used to Tom Brady in those situations, you know, when the pressure is coming. Well, a lot of Patriots fans, and I know me especially, I'm just like, Brady, just hit the ground and don't move. Just go down and take the sack, whatever. But, you know, a lot of other teams, they're watching their quarterback. If you talk about, you know, the Carolina Panthers or the Seahawks, in those type of situations where the pressure's coming, they can't wait to see Cam Newton and Russell Wilson start to scramble, make the defense dance a little bit and either get open to find somebody down the field or pick up yards with their feet. But that's something that, you know, eventually over time, the Patriots fans might just start get used to, you know, the post-Brady era with quarterbacks coming in. You might have guys who will be able to pick up yardage down the field, and something that we have to maybe start looking forward to see.
Yeah, but no disrespect. Let's not disrespect the GOAT. He did move a little bit last year. We did see him do a couple of scrambles
here and
there.
Oh, yeah, of course. Brady, you know, and a couple times when he know, like, and I feel like he does it a lot of times in, like, playoff games or whatnot.
Oh, yeah. But, when the world's watching.
When Brady knows, like, okay, it's time to see if I could put on the Jets a little bit here, he does. So I'll give him a little credit. But for the most part, I'd rather see Brady just go down and get up and ready to dissect the defense on the next down.
Definitely, definitely. But, Mike, you know what time it is, Mike? Do you know what time it is?
Yeah. This is taking it back here. Something that we're bringing back out of the old treasure chest a little bit, and we're bringing it to the New England Patriots post-game show. DJ Mees, you want to let the listeners know what this is all about?
What we're about to do here is called the Stars and Sorries of the – before we used to call it week, but we're going to call it of the game. The Stars and Sorries of the game. And pretty much is stars is players who stood out, who really brought their stuff. You want to be on the Stars list. You know, this goes up there with the ESPYs. This is there, man. This is something you put on your resume. It's something you really keep with you. If you're a star of the game, my goodness, thank you. And people write emails to us begging for stars, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It's a serious thing.
Oh, yeah. If you get a star from DJ Mees and Mr. Mike Nice here on the Patriots post-game show, you know, put that in your trophy case because that is a great award to have.
But when there's the good,
there's the bad.
And when you're bad, we say
sorry. So, I mean, hey, this first preseason game, you know, obviously is the first game kind of to kick off the NFL season somewhat. And, you know, guys are going all out to, you know, try to make their way on the roster. Some guys are just trying to get back into the field, into the swing of things. So we got a couple guys who are on these lists. So DJ Mees, kick us off with the stars.
Okay. We have three stars, Mike. You know, three players that really stepped up and showed out. So let's start it off with the number three star of the week. The number three star is a guy we spoke about earlier. I really liked how he's stepping up because we do not know how Deion Lewis is going to do. So the number three star goes to James White.
Now, James White,
you know, didn't have crazy numbers. Three carries, 12 yards, and then one reception for 56 yards on three targets. But he really stepped up in key moments of the game, and I loved what I saw from him.
Most definitely. James White, like I said, who have a solid, legit role in the offense this upcoming season. So I look forward to see what he brings to the team moving forward.
Definitely. Number two star of the week goes out to – first, hold on. We made a poll, so I have to actually check who the number two and number one stars will be. Mike Nice, you might have to take that one.
All right. Check. So I'm looking at the poll here now on Twitter that who were the stars of the game. And right now we're at a tie. So we had James White, but following that with 25% each of the vote so far was Malcolm Mitchell and Jamie Collins.
Looks like we got to be the tiebreakers, huh?
You know what? For the number two star of the week, I think I'm going to go Malcolm Mitchell. Star of the game, I'm sorry. For the number two star of the game, I'm going to go Malcolm Mitchell. And, I mean, this is a rookie coming in, and like we said earlier in the show, you know, he's really been stepping up in training camp and practice and whatnot. And from everything that I guess people have seen through training camp, has transitioned over into this first preseason game while he was on the field, And, you know, he's making a lot of solid plays out there. There's one guy that it seemed that Jimmy Garoppolo was having a solid connection with. And, I mean, he finished off the game with 4 receptions for 55 yards. Could have been more. And he made those 4 receptions off of 4 targets. So, and a couple of those catches were pretty tough ones too. But I'll give Malcolm Mitchell that number 2 star of the game for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Malcolm Mitchell really stepped up. Get better soon. Four receptions, 55 yards. Looked like a great deep threat. I'm looking forward to see what he does during the season.
For sure.
So, which means the number 1 star of the week, and I believe this won't be his first. This won't be his last. Jamie Collins, the one I said will be a Defensive Player of the Year candidate, mark my word, is the number 1 star of the week. He just balled. He made his presence known, disrupted the pass, got an interception, pick 6, tackles for loss. He was everywhere, and that guy's just a baller, an athletic freak, Jamie Collins.
I think for sure that is one line that we're going to be saying all season long when it comes to Jamie Collins, is this is a guy who will be everywhere on the field defensively, whether he's, you know, picking up sacks, you know, making tackles for losses, and even, you know, maybe forcing some fumbles, maybe making some interceptions. Jamie Collins, with his athleticism, will be all over the field defensively. And, yeah, I can definitely see him as a possible Defensive Player of the Year candidate for sure.
So preseason award number 1, Jamie Collins. But, Mike, we're not done yet.
Oh, yeah. We got to hit you guys up with the sorry.
I mean, it's preseason, so we're going to go nice. We're only going to do 1 sorry.
I mean, yeah, like I said before, you know, this preseason game, some guys are just trying to get back into the swing of things. Some guys are trying to put in a lot of work so they can hopefully make the roster moving forward. So, you know, we're not going to be too harsh after the first Patriots preseason game. But there is a sorry, and it goes out to a guy who we just praised him for his, you know, NFL debut in a sense. Malcolm Mitchell stepping onto the field, having a solid game, making connections with Jimmy Garoppolo down the field. But unfortunately, he went down with the injury, and an injury that seemed pretty gruesome if you saw it on TV or the pictures that are floating around online, whatever the case may be. He went down in what seems like for possibly the foreseeable future. So with that being said, DJ Mees,
it's gonna
we got to
give
it to him. Malcolm Mitchell, sorry.
I mean, I usually like saying sorry with emphasis and pride and laughing at the other half, but this is our very own Pats players. So, sorry. I just hope, I hope he does get better because I really loved what I saw. I mean, we're going to give it to the Saints, but the Saints played pretty good. I don't know how well they're going to do, but Drew Brees looked on form. He started blazing the first play. We're like, whoa, okay then. But, yeah, overall, first game, Michael Landry, can we get any last words from you, my brother?
Well, guys, I'm with you on Malcolm Mitchell. I thought he played really well today. I was really just kind of struck with how he looks, like, physically on the field. He was out there. He was running good routes. He was catching the ball well. He's a big – he can really move out there. Sorry to see him go down. A couple updates on him. It looks like that he did have a elbow subluxation. It was a dislocation. X-rays were negative. MRI to come. He's expected to miss 4 to 5 weeks. So we're at the beginning of the season, but for Malcolm Mitchell for sure. As far as James White, I'm with you guys too. I thought he moved. I would like to see him more of him running between the tackles and things like that. But, you know, him catching the ball out of the backfield is what he does best, and he put that on display tonight. And then the defense, like I said earlier, the defense was very, very impressive tonight, the way they turned the ball over. Jamie Collins, I'm with you guys. I think he has a chance to be a Defensive Player of the Year candidate. All around, I think they just look really good on the defensive side of the ball.
Definitely, definitely. They looked really excited. And a great sign, great first. I think it was a good first preseason game. I saw a lot. We learned a lot. And I'm excited for week two.
Yeah, man. I can't wait to see week two of the preseason game where the Patriots will be hosting the Chicago Bears. And that's next Thursday night at 8 p.m. The Chicago Bears will be at Gillette Stadium in the second week of preseason. And we just hope to see more of the same, you know, great performances, you know, standout players, less injuries, possibly no injuries on either side, because, you know, you just want everybody to be healthy and have a great season. But, yeah, preseason is a time where players really got to step up and make their stamp on the roster.
Definitely, Pats Nation, thank you all so much. This is the Patriots post-game show. I am your host, Marvin is on, DJ, a.k.a. DJ Mies.
And I am here too, Mr. Mike Nice, and along with Michael Longy holding us down. Like DJ Mies said, this has been the New England Patriots post-game show. Thanks for tuning in, and we will be back next week when the Patriots host the Chicago Bears.